We have gathered today to give thanks to our God and praise to Him for the life and the ministry of our beloved sister in the Lord and our special friend, Heather Glasgow. She is now in the presence of her Lord, whom she loved and served so heartily, so faithfully, and so joyfully for so long. She has gone to her reward, and we are confident that on that great day at the Bema, she will hear her Lord's "Well done, good and faithful servant." What a glorious day of reunion awaits each of us who love Him and serve Him and who look for His appearing, the one who loved us and gave Himself for us. Today we celebrate the triumph, the joy and the victory of Calvary. The one who took from Satan the power of death and of hell and cried with the voice of the victor, "It's finished," is alive, praise God, and sits at the right hand of His Father. The great work of salvation, complete. The great cost of salvation, fully met. God's judgment for your sin and mine, fully vindicated. And the thrilling fact that the believer is indeed looking forward to His coming again. He said to His loved ones, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again." What beautiful words. "I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Precious indeed in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. Our beloved sister is in the presence of the Lord, enjoying the joys of heaven. Shall we pray? Our gracious God and our loving Father, we come into Your divine presence this morning in the precious, precious name of Your beloved Son and our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. We come, our Father, with hearts saddened and yet rejoicing. Saddened that one we loved, who served You so faithfully, has been called home to her reward, and yet rejoicing in the fact that she's with Christ, which is far better. We thank You, our Father, for her family, for the fact that they share that same faith that she shared, and they look forward to being with Him and like Him, to see Him as He is. And Father, we pray this morning, You will solemnize each heart, bring to us rejoicing in those things in which we should rejoice, and also compassion in those areas where we should indeed extend our love to those who have lost a loved one. We thank You, Father, for the resources which we have in Christ and in His precious Word, and we commend them to the God of all comfort and consolation at this time, as they with us recount the joys of their mother and their father and their service for the Lord. We commit ourselves to You now and seek Your blessing in the worthy and the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We welcome today the members of the family of Bob and Heather Glasgow, who have combined to bring a special tribute to their mother, their grandmother. And I don't think any of the great-grandchildren are here, but she has great-grandchildren too. But they love her so dearly. Now, her granddaughters, Andrea and Carla Sims, will bring to us special readings from the Word of God. Thank you, young ladies.
My name's Andrea, and I'm a granddaughter of Grandma. I just wanted to say a couple of words first, and then I'm going to read. I'm proud of my grandma. I'm proud because she was a faithful woman of God who possessed such joy from the Lord that she was able to laugh even in the face of memory loss, sickness, pain, and to the point of death. I'm proud of my grandma. And I want to read 23rd Psalm, which is, to me, the story of Grandma's life and her eternal life now. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. My name is Carla, and I'm also a granddaughter. The thing that I remember most about Grandma is just her love for the Lord, and it just shines through in everything that she did. And even everywhere we went with her in the 5 years that I got to know her, she told everyone that she knew about the Lord in the shopping centre, going up and asking if they were saved and born again. She even asked me sometimes when she forgot who I was. But I saw right to the end that she had the Holy Spirit living in her. And it's just such a joy to know that now, because of that, because of her love for the Lord, she's gone on to be with him forever. The sun has one kind of splendor, the moon another, and the stars another. And star differs from star in splendor. So will it be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable. It is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's with that hope that Grandma lived and died and now lives with the Lord. And it's with that hope that now seeing her live her whole life for God, I have a hope that one day I will be where she is now. I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end he will stand upon the earth. And after my flesh has been destroyed, yet in the end I will see God. I will see him with my own eyes, I and not another. How my heart yearns within me.
What a lovely tribute from those two young ladies to a grandmother they loved so much and whose God they also love and follow. Lovely that final verse, was it not? I know that my Redeemer liveth, that he shall stand at the latter day. In my flesh I shall see God. What a prospect for each and every one of us who know and love him. Now we're going to join in singing one of Heather's favourite songs, There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son, Precious Lamb of God, Messiah, Holy One. Shall we rise and sing with our hearts, There is a Redeemer. Carla will bring a eulogy to the honour of her beloved mother. Thank you.
Also the mother of Alistair and Emily. The story of my mum, Heather Glasgow, really starts in a sad way before she was born. 3 months before Heather, I'll call her, was born, her mother left her father. Heather was born on the 21st of January 1914, Flora Heather Burge, and was always called Heather. She had two older sisters, Janet and Catherine. All three sisters went to Presbyterian Girls College in Warwick, and they were known as they grew up there as the clowns of the school. At one time, the three of them were on the stage in the big assembly hall, mimicking the principal and two other teachers, and a lot of girls were there laughing, and it was a while before they realised that the principal was standing in the doorway watching. I think they got into a bit of trouble about that. When Heather was a teenager, she went to a tent meeting of a big evangelist who came to, well known, but I don't know who it was, but I know he became very well known after that, a tent meeting in Brisbane, and she responded by going forward in response to the call to give her heart to the Lord. She turned around and saw that her sisters and mother had followed her, and that was a joy to her, but they had no nurturing and no church at the time, and but the seed stayed within her, but they didn't grow spiritually at the time. Heather loved geology in school, but there was no women's lib in those days, and geology was sort of a man's interest, and so she took up shorthand and typing. And her mother, when she used to come home from school, would say, "All right, take this down," and she'd read the newspaper to her. And Heather would say, "Oh, this is too fast, it's too hard." But her mother said, "If you want to get a good secretarial job, you do this, and you'll be good." So she got very good, and she was so good that she won all the prizes for shorthand and typing in school. So they stopped giving prizes because Heather Burge won them all. She did get some good secretarial jobs. She was secretary at the Hotel Canberra in Brisbane. Then she was secretary to the mining boss in Mount Isa for a while. And about this time, she was engaged to a man who eventually became the owner of a major bus company here. But in the meantime, her family, her mother and sisters and her, moved to Sydney for a while. They lived opposite the Parrish family, who were very devoted Christians. They went to the Glanton meeting in Sydney, which is a very strict, semi-exclusive Brethren meeting. Now, Mrs. Parrish used to talk for hours often with Heather about spiritual things. And they would walk to the Glanton meeting and back again, and Mr. Parrish and their daughter Jean would stand and wait for ages every night for Mrs. Parrish to stop talking with Heather, because Heather was so hungry. And it was through Mrs. Parrish's nurturing that Heather really met the Lord and gave her whole heart and life to him. And she also became lifelong friends with their daughter Jean, who eventually became Jean Westerman, married Steve Westerman. The upshot of that was that she broke off her engagement with the man who was not a Christian. And back in Brisbane, she started going to the Brisbane Glanton meetings, which were similar to the ones in Sydney. She met the Westermans there and used to go out from Wynnum, where she lived with her mother, to Baden, where the Westermans had a farm, and would talk for hours again to Mr. Westerman about the things of God. She was very much on fire for the Lord, and used to go to any open-air meetings the Glanton meetings had and gave out tracts to people on the streets. And one such man, who was very much a man of the world at the time, became a Christian eventually, and his name is Ted Drury, as some of you will know. Heather ran a children's mission across the street from the assembly hall at Roma Street, where the Glanton meeting used to meet. And she was growing in her love for the lost and wanting everyone to know the Lord. She was at the time the secretary to the general manager of Kodak in Brisbane. he was to transfer to Sydney, and so he asked her if she would transfer too, so she could continue to work for him. She agreed and was preparing to leave Brisbane. But meanwhile, a handsome young man called Robert Glasgow arrived from Sydney and started going to the St. Glanton meetings. They fell in love, and she reluctantly still went to Sydney with her boss, but didn't stay as long as expected. She came back to Brisbane, but she still had another obstacle. That was her mother. Her mother was always skeptical of men and brought her daughters up to be, and Heather was quite nervous to ask her about this young man. But when she did mention him to her, her mother, whose hometown was Glasgow, on hearing his name, said, "Well, his name recommends him straight away." And many in Bethany have heard that story many times. So Heather married Bob Glasgow on January the 4th, 1946, in Sydney. Then they had a daughter, Heather Bell, in Brisbane. They went to New Zealand after a while, and when Heather was 8 months pregnant with their next child, Bob came home with tickets to England on the ship. And it was a bit of a shock, but off they went. Off they went to England, and Robert Keith was born shortly after they arrived in England. And 2 years later, Jennifer, now Nairi, was born in England too. Then they came back to Australia by ship, and Heather was delighted to see her little baby Jennifer learning to walk on the ship on tiptoes. Back in Australia, Bob and Heather, with their three young ones, stayed with Jack and Nancy Burrell on a farm in Narromine, and Bob worked with Jack there. Then they moved to Beaudesert in Queensland, and Roslyn was born. They left the Glanton meeting at this time because they were feeling it was just too restrictive and too legalistic, and so they weren't going anywhere. And when they moved to Oxley from Beaudesert, Dick and Peggy Westerman, very close friends in Beaudesert, alerted Tom Farrell to talk to them about coming to Corinda here. Tom Farrell had known Heather since before Bob came to town for a long time. And he would visit them and talk to them about this church, Corinda. And meanwhile, Heather Bell and Jeanette Fisher were in the same class at school and undoubtedly compared notes. And eventually, the Fisher family asked the Glasgow family over to their home, and after a long discussion, the Glasgows decided to join Corinda Gospel Hall and started coming here to this church. During the years living at Oxley, Bob helped Heather to track down her father, whom she had never met, and she had thought had drowned on a ship. But he told her, no, there were many survivors of that ship with the Niagara that ran aground on New Zealand. And so they eventually, through the Navy, they found him, and they brought him, and he was delighted. They brought him to live with the family in Oxley for the last years of his life. And in that time, through Bob and Heather's love and persistence, he gave his life to the Lord and died a Christian. Then the family moved to Inala to help start a new gospel hall in Inala, which was an offshoot of Corinda. Heather made very good friends there and showed real compassion for her neighbours. The house that was built there, the family had built brand new, and was painted the colour of the sunset. You might call it coral or salmon-coloured, but Bob said Heather loves the song Beyond the Sunset, so it's appropriate, and everyone who knows Heather has heard her sing that song, Beyond the Sunset, many times. Then the time in Inala was not a long time. It was barely a year, and the family moved to Melbourne. Heather occasionally would take the children round the block with tracts in hand, to put tracts in the letterboxes. And she loved to recount the story of, as they were going along, seeing her young son, Robert, with his arm up like this on a telegraph pole, and she thought he was crying. And she said, "What's the matter, Robert?" And he said, "I'm just praying." She was nurturing an evangelist. He later became one. Then in 1964, the family, all but the oldest daughter, Heather Bell, took a ship to India. And Heather was there, a matron in a dormitory at a boys' boarding school called Lushington. Now it's a co-ed school called Hebron in Uttarakhand. Heather saw a lot of India in the 2.5 years there and saw much of Southeast Asia in the 3 month trip home. Then the family lived in Sydney and attended Epping Gospel Chapel. Then after 2 years there, the family moved to New Zealand, first of all to Mount Maunganui, then to Auckland, this time without the son, Robert, who by then had changed his name to Keith, as well. But then he followed and he stayed with the family. But then in 1970, they took a ship to Brazil to work with Gospel Literature Outreach with no children at all with them. This was a very hard thing for Heather. But she learned Portuguese at the age of 56, and anyone who visited them in Brazil in that time found that, true to form, Heather loved the Brazilian people, and whenever they went anywhere by car on their long-distance trips, Heather would throw tracts out of the window to road workers. She just wanted everyone to be saved. She always prayed for her children. She missed them dreadfully, and I, for one, am very thankful for that, for her prayers. But during the time there, Heather was getting Alzheimer's or dementia, and this was getting very difficult for Bob. Not that he ever said that or complained, but things were getting hard. And in 1996, Bob died suddenly on furlough after a very happy 50th wedding anniversary in New Zealand and after seeing each one of their children recently. Jim Fisher and Peter Hughes were instrumental in making a place for Heather at Bethany at very short notice. Bethany took her in, grief-stricken and confused, and looked after her very well for the last 5 years of her life. She joined in everything, from carpet bowls to singing to Bible quizzes to crafts. And although she had Alzheimer's or dementia, she still remembered her favourite hymns and her favourite scriptures. Colin Murphy, once visiting, asked her, "What's the difference between a Christian and a non-Christian, Auntie Heather?" She didn't miss a beat. She said, "A Christian has the Holy Spirit living inside them." Living in Brisbane, I've been privileged to see a lot of my mum in the last 5 years, and it really has been a privilege. It's been difficult sometimes, but I've got so that we would just go out for lunch and a bit of shopping and enjoy ourselves. And she went downhill in the last few months, but one of the last things she said to me when she was getting quite weak, too weak for me to take her out, she looked at me just out of the blue and said, "We had a lovely time together." And we did. She still had a smile and a sweetness of spirit and even a chuckle right to the end. And the second last time I saw her before she died, my husband Mike was with me and I said, "Just look at the sparkle in her eyes." And she still had such a sparkle. And then the last time I saw her, she was just breathing. And then Heather went peacefully to God on June 6th, just 2.5 weeks ago. She often sang about the joy of one day seeing Jesus face to face. And now she has that joy. Now my husband Mike is going to share something with you.
It really seems appropriate to me to echo the prayer of Jesus. "Thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to children. For such was your good pleasure." And Mum's life was not a complicated life. We sure had complexities here and there and everywhere. But as a person, she knew things that very, very few people get to know in this life because of the simplicity of her heart, the childlike nature of her heart. And God hides those things from us who would be wise and learned. And He reveals them to children, those who are childlike in heart. And Mom's life was a simple song of love. I didn't meet her until she was 68 years old. That's when she came on her own from Brazil to help Rosalind and myself at the birth of our first daughter, Andrea. I don't think she knew what she was doing flying there. She just wanted to be there, and I'll do anything to help. And she did everything she possibly could. She just wanted so much to care for Rosalind and this granddaughter and to be there. I don't think Wild Horses could have kept her away at all, but she came. And that's the sort of person I experienced her as. And one of the things that, I don't mean in any way negatively, but when I encountered Mom, you could tell that she was underconfident by nature. She lacked, lacked real security as a person. But that never, ever for a moment held her back from doing things. I mean, I don't know really what it was like for her growing up. We've heard a lot of things here from Rosalyn, without a father and not knowing him until she was well into her adult age. I don't know. But for whatever reason, there was an underconfidence, but that never stopped her. And it was so wonderful to see someone who could so easily, like we all are tempted to get worried about ourselves. She just looked beyond that. And it really, it seems to me, flowed from her love relationship with Jesus. She knew Jesus loved her, and that was strength enough to do anything. And what Rosalind's just read, I'm exhausted just thinking about it. Here and there and here and there, and four children, and at a time when there weren't machines to do this, that, or the other, and travel was laborious and all of those things. And yet, just a courage and confidence in that sense to keep going and do the right thing. And what a meaningful life she lived. What a meaningful life she lived. If any of us would have half of that impact, it would be wonderful. And I don't think we know the half either. Because she wasn't really an upfront person. So much went on here or there or in her prayer closet. During Mom's last 5 years, as has been said, we had a lot more opportunity to be near her and have her near us. And she faced perhaps even her biggest challenges then. Without the husband and love of her life, with the increase of dementia, institutionalization, I don't know if I'm ready for that at all. To have to face sudden routines when you've gone here, there, and everywhere, and now you're going to stop, the brakes are put on, and you're plunked in one place. And all that she faced. And yet, she just shone. And I can remember so many times, and it was wonderful for me. Roz and I might be driving her home or something, and she'd be asking even where Dad was and confused about that, and then couldn't I stay with you, and all of these things, and difficulties wondering, was there enough money, is it okay? And we'd just start to sing, or we'd start to pray, and she would just absolutely have peace. And that to me is so wonderful, because I know that someone knows the Lord. When you pray and when you worship, you find out who draws from God. And she did. Absolutely and wonderfully. And even when she was hardly able to communicate herself verbally in the hospital, to pray with her and to see peace come over her was just wonderful. The presence of the Lord. So today I want to honor Mom. I want to honor her. So I trust we're all here for that. And to honor the Lord that she loved so much and who loves her so greatly.
Sing a simple song of love to my Savior, to my Jesus. I'm grateful for the things you've done, my loving Savior, oh precious Jesus. My heart is glad that you call me your own, 'cause There's no place I'd rather be than in your arms of love. In your arms of love, holding me still, holding me near, in your arms of love. I sing a simple song of love to my Savior, to my Jesus. I'm grateful for the things you've done, my loving Savior, oh precious Jesus. My heart is glad that you call me your own, and there's no place I'd rather be than in your arms of love. In your arms of love, holding me still, holding me near, in your arms of love. My heart is glad that you call me your own, there's no place I'd rather be than in your arms of love. In your arms of love, holding me still, holding me near, holding me still, oh, holding me near. Holding me still, holding me near, in your arms of love.
I'm going to ask permission for one other song that had on my heart for the last several months or months. If any of you happen to know this, feel free to sing it. Feel free to sing it. It's about Jesus too, as you could imagine.
Jesus, oh for Jesus, all I am and have and ever hope to be. Jesus, all for Jesus, all I am and have and ever hope to be. It's only in your will that I am free. Yes, it's only in your will that I am free. Jesus, oh, for Jesus, all I am and have and ever hope to be. All of my ambitions, hopes and plans, I surrender thee into your hand. All of my ambitions, hopes and plans, I surrender thee
Thank you, Mike, for this lovely tribute to a mother-in-law. That's something for a son-in-law, isn't it? And our dear sister is indeed in the loving arms of Jesus. Now we have on the hymn sheet a chorus medley which has been put together by our brother Keith, and this embraces some of the favourite hymns of our dear sister, and she loved singing. She loved playing that violin. So we're going to join with her now as we sing, "I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold." The family are going to join, a few of them, around here to lead you in the singing of this hymn. Shall we rise? with confidence of the permanent, of the believer's hope. In that fair homeland, we'll know no parting beyond the sunset when day is done. Each member of the family will pay tribute to their beloved mother, who has indeed, like the Apostle Paul, pressed towards the prize of the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. Nairi Bates, daughter from Auckland, will bring her tribute then, and will introduce the other members of the family as they come forward. Thank you, Nairi.
As Rosalind did the eulogy, we're going up the ladder, and I'm the next one up. I speak on behalf of my husband as well, Adrian Bates, and my two twin sons, Daniel and Nelson. See this photo of my mum in the prime of her life. I think she's beautiful. However, I think that she became more beautiful the older she got. And paradoxically, it was because she didn't put a lot of store on outward things, on beauty, on dress, on material things. The major factor, I think, driving my mum's life and affecting it, to my observation, was her spiritual relationship with Jesus. The terms I'd use in describing my mother, first of all, I would say spiritual. She was a spiritual woman. It came before material things. Her concern was for her own spiritual life, for her family's spiritual life, for the faith of people in the wider community. The verse that says, you cannot serve both God and money, was actually a reality for her and my father. It wasn't just pious words. They chose not to choose materialism. I don't mean gaining a lot of things. I mean, what's first in their hearts. It's about our citizenship is in heaven. Although Mum and Dad were Australians and they loved Brazil, their citizenship was in heaven, and that was lived out in them. The second thing I'd say, use a term to describe my mother, would be prayer. Mum was always praying, I think more than we ever really knew. Years later, in the last 5 years, I met a woman who used to be our next door neighbour, and Mum and her were in each other's houses a lot. They were Christians. She told me, oh, your mother, I came in one day and found her on the floor, sobbing. And when she got up, she said, it's all right. She was praying for my brother Keith, who at that time was away from the Lord. And that was the way she prayed, I think, for more people than we ever know, as well as for us. Another term I'd use for my mum is humility. Mum consistently put others first in the family. And love. Her favourite chapter in the Bible was 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and she knew it off by heart. If I do this, if I do that, if I do all sorts of worthy, good things, but have not love, it's worthless. And I think this is what gave her that growing inner beauty. At a time like this, there's sorrow, but there's also hope. Hope is not hope like, oh, I hope I get a car park, or wishful thinking, or just I wish something would happen. It was a sure hope. Really an anticipation, and Mum's life was lived in anticipation, i.e. hope of heaven. It's Jesus' resurrection that gives us hope. We all know there's good historical evidence for Jesus' life. There's no reasonable explanation of the events after his death except that God raised him from the dead. And this is our hope. I'd like to make an illustration from birth. If most of you have seen a baby born or seen a movie of it, something, what happens? The head's born, and then there's a bit of time, sometimes a few minutes, but in the end, the born. When you see the head born, you know it's going to be, it may be a little while, but it's waiting through the labour. But once you see the head, you know what's going to happen next. And Jesus is the head of the church. He has been resurrected, and we've seen that. We're in the waiting period, but we know that the body's going to follow, and Mum is part of that body. This is the sure hope in which Mum lived. Just this morning, I read some verses, and some of them come from 1 Corinthians 13, and I thought of Mum, so I'll read them. Now we see but a poor reflection, then we shall see face to face. Now I know not, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. Jesus Christ, who by the power enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his. And I, in righteousness, I will see your face. When I awake, I will be satisfied with seeing your likeness. Keith is going to come up now.
I've been really touched, as I've been reminded by so far by two of my sisters, of the incredible mum that we have. And a saint indeed, a person set apart for God, which what is the meaning of a saint, a person who loved the Lord her God with all her heart, with all her soul, with all her strength, with every part of her being. And she was a frail person like us too, and sinned. We all sin. She wasn't a saint in the sense some people think of saints. But she was a saint, set apart for God. I want to pick out one thing in her life that stood out and stands out to me as I reflect on her life, and that was the word sacrifice. Many times, I just look back and remember things like sitting at a table and if there was something, food that was, that she would take that for herself. She would give it to us. An apple with a bit of rot in it, all the good ones, she'd eat that. I would take the smallest portion. She always made sure. Her clothing, sometimes when we were children, we didn't have much money as a family, as many, some of you may know. But she always made sure we had clothes, and sometimes I've been reminded just today that her own clothes were she wouldn't replace when there was needs in the family, and that whole idea of sacrifice for others really stands out to me. I think of perhaps the biggest sacrifices in reflecting upon this is the way that she willingly went to Brazil with Dad at a time when her family were. Some, one or two were still teenagers and or older teenagers, and we're moving into one marriage and then grandchildren and so on. For her, her family was so special and precious to her, and right through, even right to the end. Yet, because of her love for the Lord, I don't believe it was a resignation sacrifice, like she was just resigned to it, and so she went and did it anyway, went to Brazil. But she loved her Lord and was willing to sacrifice even the most precious things to her in order to follow her Lord and do what she believed, and rightly so, called her to do. And that really stands out to me. I mean, she was not able to attend any of our weddings because she sacrificed that by being in Brazil. She, with Dad, came home once every 5 or 6 years, and because we're spread all around the world, could only spend a certain amount of time with each before doing a little bit of deputation work back here in Australia and New Zealand, then had to be back in Brazil within 12 months in order to get to stop a visa problem a much bigger problem getting back into the country again. So they they didn't really get to see much of the grandchildren. I know whenever we rang Mum in Brazil, it was just such a major thing for her to have us ring and speak to her on the phone. And it spoke to me of the sacrifice that she was willing to do. And I think now we've got grandchildren, and it's just how wonderful it is, and to be away from our family for periods of 5 or 6 years at a time, right through that period of life when you do appreciate your family so much, it would be a major, major thing. So we honour her for her love for God and her sacrifice. I know that it's already been mentioned, but I've put down here in her praying, there is sacrifice in praying, there's in earnestly praying, and that's what she did. Long and earnestly she prayed for us and for everyone. I remember when I was a rebel and right away from God in my life and had no time for God, and I knew that she was praying. I could sense it. I couldn't get away from just things happening that would indicate to me God's looking over me and he's not letting me get too far and so on. I just could sense God's hand, and I knew it was my mum praying. And I remember once I was working as a barman in a pub in New Zealand, and Mum and Dad came by on there about back on furlough, and was it before? No, it was before they went. Sorry, but they came by, and I found out afterwards that they just drove down the road a little way and just sat in the car and cried and cried out to God in prayer, because they could see the direction my life was taking. When I then came back up to Auckland and I gave my life back to the Lord, and it was a big, big struggle to do that. Just the tears of joy from my mother were just so special. I think back to that time now, she was just over the moon. It just showed her heart, you know, where she really was. And I thought of the verses in Proverbs where I've thought of them since then, not back then, but since then I've thought of verses like Proverbs 10 verse 1. A wise son brings joy to his father, but a foolish son grief to his mother. And I thought, I've given my mum in those years a lot of grief, and yet she continued to pray. And then the Proverbs 23, where it says, may your father and mother be glad, may she who gave you birth rejoice, my son, give me your heart. And so that I thought I would share with you. We do know that Mum sings a lot. She sang a lot, and she's still singing. And I used to have Mum on a bit, because as a kid, I would whistle a tune. I just sort of, or I'll get Mum going. So I'd think let's say Blessed Assurance. So I go, and that's all I'd do, and I'd walk away. Sure enough, within a couple of minutes, Mum would be singing while she's doing the washing up, Blessed Assurance. And it's a little trigger. There's a verse in 2 Peter, just came to mind as I was sitting there, where it talks about people who in their Christian lives don't stumble and will have an abundant entrance into the kingdom of the eternal kingdom of God and our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think of Mum in that way. She has had an abundant entrance, I am absolutely sure, into the kingdom of God and into heaven. At times like this, I think, you know, is this all real? Not doubting your faith in the sense of, well, I have real grave doubts. But you begin to think, no, is this all for real? Is there such a place as heaven, and is God real, and is the truth of the resurrection really the truth? And then I find that if I then have a little doubt like that, I turn back to God's word and I read and I think, yeah, I have no doubt at all. I don't know why it is, but somehow there's a mixture of a little doubt and then faith as you think through what the Word of God says. And I've tell you honestly that there are times when those little doubts come and I have to turn back to God's Word, and as I think it through, I'm just so amazed at the wonderful truth we have. We can come to a service like this and we can stand with great assurance despite any little doubts that may come and know, hey, this isn't a fairy tale. This is for real. That empty tomb of Jesus is the greatest wonderful evidence to me of all of this that we believe from God's Word. There's no body. He is gone. The enemies of Jesus could have tried to stamp out Christianity as they did. All they had to do was produce the body of Jesus, but there was no body. There is no body on earth. There is a body of our glorified Lord Jesus in heaven. And it just gives great assurance to us that we are not left here without the certainty of a knowledge that heaven is a reality, that God is a reality, and that Jesus is alive, and therefore we... I love that illustration of the birth. Perfect illustration. I just want to say that as we remember our mum, and I'm sure that you will in many ways similar things to what we are sharing, that her purpose in life was to bring glory to God, and her purpose today, if she was wanting to have a part in what was going to be said today, would be that we would honour and glorify the Lord Jesus whom she loved. And so we do.
The lady who's coming forward is Heatherbell.
Our mother, as we've heard, grew up the youngest of three daughters, raised by their mother, who was a single parent. Before that expression had been coined, and at a time when it really wouldn't have made much sense in society following the First World War. And we wondered, as children do, what it was like for our mother growing up. We only heard stories of isolated incidents and had to infer the rest. But two things I feel quite sure of saying about my mother's early life are there was a lot of laughter and there was a lot of music in my grandmother's home. Most of the stories I've heard Mum and her sisters tell were funny ones that could still make them laugh after more than 30 years later. And they made us laugh too as children, and we tell our children, and these stories will probably go on amusing our families for a couple more generations. But music must have been important too. My grandmother was hardworking and ambitious for her daughters, as we've heard. She sent them to boarding school and she provided them with music lessons. As children, we knew that Auntie Janet played the piano and Auntie Kath played violin, but we didn't know for many years, or at least I didn't, that Mum played the violin, because she couldn't keep it up while raising a family and every few years moving to a new house, a new city, or a different country. What we did hear, though, was her voice. Mum always accompanied her housework with singing. One of my enduring childhood memories, which I know that Keith, Nari, and Rosalind share, is that of Mum's light, clear soprano voice singing or humming a tune around the house. And it's clear that Mum was a musician. She didn't just sing. She didn't sing in tune, the chords as arpeggios, but she conveyed something with her singing. What was conveyed to me as a child, hearing her, was a feeling that everything was all right. And it was recently to think and write about this that I realized how important this feeling was and how much I had taken it for granted. I never specifically thanked Mum for it. I thank her now. Late in life, when Mum had already begun to show significant memory loss,
We thought of getting her another violin. She picked it up, put it under her chin, and played a tune perfectly after practicing for 50 years or more. Is here today. Her granddaughter Megan is going to play on it. Poata, which is known in English as the Maori Farewell. This is one of the many tunes I learned as a child from my mother. And I remember once she told me a story about this song. It was 1949, and we had been living in Auckland for a year or so. Our small family, Bob, Heather, Heather Bell, and the unborn child that was soon to be called Robert Keith. Our small family stood on the deck of a ship in Auckland Harbour. As the ship pulled away from the wharf and the streamers broke and the people waved, the strains of this song came clearly across the widening strip of water. Now is the hour when we must say goodbye. And so, in the language of music that you understood so well, mother, grandmother, great-grandmother, sister, friend, Heather, Donna Flora, we say farewell.
Thank you.
Thank you, Megan. A lovely tribute to Grandma and a temporary farewell. The parting is just a short one. We'll meet again in the morning. It's lovely indeed as we think in terms of the fact that our dear sister has indeed, and I'm sure everyone here would agree, received an abundant entry into the presence of her Lord, as Keith had said. What a joy it has been to listen to the appreciative comments from the family of one who's been such a devoted, a loving mother, one who was deeply loved because of her devotion to her loved ones and to her Lord. What a priceless heritage she's left for each of them and for those of us who knew and loved her in the Lord. Like her husband Bob, she was known for her ready smile, a choice servant of God whose winsome ways and whose evident love for the Lord gave her a ready acceptance. When she approached folk to speak to them about her Lord and to tell them of his redeeming love, folk would find it hard to rebuff one so gentle and one so sincere. With her husband Bob, she opened her home that others might experience the love of Christ. And together they led many to the Lord in that home, here in Oxley and down at Inala. Their ministry in Inala was indeed foundational and blessed of God in an outstanding witness in that suburb to their Lord and Saviour. A witness which made their home indeed one in which many came that they might learn of the things of the Lord and they might grow in their faith. They made that home their place of service for the Lord. From that launching pad, they were led to a great field of service, giving themselves in missionary service in India, and then, until their service ended with Bob's sudden home call, they served with joy in Brazil and neighbouring countries. Brother Des Baird received an email from Jim and Carmen Jardine in Brazil just yesterday, from which I quote, "We had the privilege of knowing Bob and Heather and working with them on and off for 20 years, 1975 to 1995. We grew to appreciate them both very much and admired their dedication to the Lord and to his work. Bob and Heather were tireless in seeking out individuals and little groups of believers all over the country and encouraging them to go on in their work for the Lord. And to meet in the way, the New Testament way as laid down in the Word of God in which they fully and utterly believed. Surely the Lord will indeed reward them at the Bema, at the judgment seat of Christ. Such service for the Lord, costly, yes, and sacrifice, but their reward will be indeed great. Thank God for the service of folk such as Bob and Heather Glasgow." Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 7 tells us, "Whose faith followed, considering the outcome of their conduct." They have followed the Lord's example, and we should follow in their steps. The ladies at Bethany, we were hearing of her love of music, and the fact that with her went that love, and also went the song. And the ladies at Bethany loved and appreciated her joyous love of the Lord as she praised him with her voice or with the violin. Janet said, "It was always uplifting." What a lovely testimony. To her loved ones, Nyree, Keith, Heather Bell, and Roslyn, and their families, can we encourage you to anticipate with joy that grand reunion and rest in the promises of God's word. He said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." He is the unchanging one. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. He said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Beloved, what peace can come to those who know, who love, and who follow the Lord, even in circumstances such as this. May that peace indeed garrison your hearts and minds. May he calm the anxious thoughts or the troubled waves as you hear that assuring voice. Peace, be still. We love and commend to the Lord, the God of all comfort, the God of consolation. He knows, he cares, he understands, and he loves. The hymn writer said, God understands your sorrows. He sees the falling tear and whispers, I am with you. Then falter not, nor fear. God understands your sorrows. Your every grief he shares. Then let him bear your burden. He understands and cares. May you each experience in full measure the understanding and the embracing of those tender, loving arms of the one who loved you and gave himself for you. You have the assurance of the love and the care of all present. We will be following you in our prayers and upholding you that you might experience again the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, for those of us who are here, as we come to a close, when you came in to the service, you were given a sheet of paper such as this. The family request that you use this to make any comment of appreciation or the noting of any particular event or circumstance which they can use in their memoirs of their beloved parents. You can give the sheet either Heather or Bob. Anything that you can think of that you would love to encourage them with, you give the sheet to anyone of the family or leave it at the table downstairs just inside the door so that they can pick it up and take it as they go. You're also invited to share in the light refreshments in the basement and to have fellowship with the family as you do that. I know they would love to meet with you. At the conclusion of that time, the family will be proceeding to River Terrace at the bottom of Dock Street, Kangaroo Point, to cast the ashes over the Brisbane River as they did with their father, Bob. If you would care to join them in this, please speak to any one of the family and they will give you full directions. Shall we now join in the singing of that lovely hymn, that hymn which indeed epitomises the, I believe, the thoughts of all of the family today as we sing together, face to face with Christ my Saviour. Face to face, what will it be when with rapture I behold him, Jesus Christ, who died for me? What a prospect. Shall we rise and sing with triumph, face to face with Christ my Saviour.
Thank you.
now call on Dr. Ken Newton, effectively, affectionately known to the Glasgow's as Ken, and Ken was one whom God used, and that use was because of the fact largely of the influence of the Glasgow family on his future life. Thank you, Ken.
It was 47 years ago, I think, when the Glasgow family crossed my path, or I crossed theirs. I had no idea what that was going to mean to me. Immense blessing, and I thank God for that. And so I'm privileged as part of people whom your family has touched to now pray for you as this service comes to a conclusion. Perhaps we should stand as we give thanks to God for what he's done and for these people here. Father in heaven, we thank you for your purposes and your grace. The gifts that you gave to people whom we've remembered this morning. We thank you for the way they exercised that grace. They touched our lives. Thank you for being good to them. Thank you that they were good to us. And we now, in a special way, pray a blessing on Heather Bell and Keith and Nairi and Roslyn and their families. And we ask a portion of that grace that you gave to Heather will be poured out on them. Be good to them as you were to Heather. And may they take this and use it as a blessing to the nations, as their parents did. So we thank you, God, for your goodness, for bringing our lives together in your purposes. And we ask that you would go with us now, and that we might experience your love, your grace, and your fellowship.